Welcome back to Up the Poshcast, everyone. I am delighted to be reporting on a Peterborough United win for the first time in 5 months. We won 2-1 at home against Wycombe Wanderers today. I was joined by Lod, Ashley, and Dell. I'm Harry. We, of course, discussed the game, talked about the players. It was very nice to be a bit more positive. We went on to discuss the GH display stand. It was obviously open today. I was in there. We were all in there, in fact, and it was a great experience. And do we continue to use this great asset that we have, arguably the best stand in the whole ground? And where does that leave the London Road end potentially if we do go with it permanently? Finally, we discussed a bit about the new Hard Truth podcast from Dara and some of the airing of grievances from him and whether all of those grievances should be aired publicly or whether his level of transparency is a good thing for the fans. Just one thing to mention today, which is that we are delighted to be partnered with Smith's Hyundai. They're based out of Breton Way. They have a state-of-the-art showroom, open 7 days a week. If you're thinking of changing or upgrading your vehicle, go and have a chat with them, even if it's just for a cup of tea. They're really great down there, and they may be able to offer you a great option for your next vehicle, which leads me on nicely to the fact that they have an event coming up focusing on the Hyundai Tucson. It's a offer that runs to the 30th of September. They can potentially offer two free services, up to £2,000 worth of financing with savings up to £3,750. T's and C's apply, but get in touch soon. Offer ends 30th of September. You may find your next vehicle in the Hyundai Tucson. And with that, enjoy the episode.
In Peterborough, match day starts long before kickoff. And whether you're heading to the pub, the ground, or just tuning into the podcast, Hyundai gets you there in comfort, style, and with room for your mates. Visit Smith's Hyundai, your local Hyundai experts and proud supporters of Up the Poshcast.
Peterborough United 2, Wycombe Wanderers 1. We have won a game of football. Lods, tell me what you thought of it.
Yeah, what a relief. Jesus Christ. A long time coming, our first win of the season. And I tell you what, it's been that long that I forgot about all of the things we do, like when Ewan goes on the pitch and films all the players celebrating coming off the pitch. And I've watched that video and all the new players look so awkward. And I know why. It's because they've played like 5, 6, 7 times for us now. And we still haven't won a bloody game. But we finally done it, and for the first half especially, we looked so much more like what a Peterborough United side should look like. We played fast, energetic. We were playing really ambitious passes, and they were all just coming off. We were having shots at goal, and actually going in at half-time, I know it was 2-0, but I actually felt like we probably could have easily been 3 or 4-0 up. In terms of possession, I mean, we were playing counter-attacking football quite a lot, but they didn't really touch our goal from memory in the first half, and we just looked so good on the counter-attack. Second half, we obviously played a little bit less aggressively. We definitely were trying to get the third, but maybe conceding the goal straight after half-time was the reason for that. But yeah, I think fitness is probably the main issue for that, if I'm being honest with you. I think you saw, especially with the new guys, that they couldn't really last 90 minutes playing that way. I'm hoping that when they've played with us for a few more weeks and they get back up to full fitness, we can play like that for longer in the game. Because if we can play like that going forward, I think most teams we should be able to beat comfortably. And any worries that we had of getting relegated before today's game, hopefully, are now going to be squashed.
Yeah, the way I see it is that, and I mentioned this to somebody that was WhatsApping after the game, it's like when if a car's running downhill, you've got to stop it. And it does take a little bit of work. And we've done that now. We've managed to get the brakes on. Now it's time to start accelerating and going forwards. And 3 points, what a perfect way to start that. I am not as convinced that it was as great a performance as obviously the buzz around the club was today. And I don't want to sit here and be negative just because John's not, but this was only a step in the right direction. It's very much, yes, we've got 3 points, but we do now still need probably another 4 points from our next two games in the league to really solidify and turn around a poor start to become an average start and to find ourselves in a month's time, let's say, hopefully on sort of 12 to 14 points and know that we can grow from there. And like Lods has mentioned, the players have shown that they've got it. They want to work for each other. And the important thing that I was happy to see is we've had two interviews from players, one from Morgan and one from Keller, and they're both smiling. That's the most important thing, because we've said that these are young players. Obviously, there's some experience in there. We don't want to let it get too negative. And just to see them smiling and happy. It was a great day today. The GH was enjoyable. And like I say, I just hope that it's the right sort of the push in the right direction that the players need now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was a very similar quality performance to what we saw against Huddersfield away. And if we put in that level of performance we've now seen in the last two games, and also flashes in, for example, Bradford, Barnsley, that will beat enough teams, I think, for us to stay up. And I also noticed, I was looking at the table, that we have played in our first eight games. Six of the teams we played sit in the top nine right now. So it could be that it has just been a little bit of a distorted start to the year, where having finished 18th last year, we'd like to think we're a mid-table side now with a very outside chance of being top six. And we've just had a tough start in terms of the actual quality of teams that we've played. And now as we move into a period where we're playing Plymouth, who are not good this year, Lincoln, who are average this year, we might hopefully pick up a bit more. But yeah, I was encouraged. I feel very similar to how I did, as I say, against Huddersfield. And let's hope we can kick on, because I reckon there's another gear to go into, as you say, Ashley.
I don't think there's another gear, if I'm honest. I think there's quite a lot more gears. But what is currently happening is we're having a bit of Kaizen, and we're doing small steps. And it's a follow-on from Huddersfield. Huddersfield. But they didn't, because they won. But it's a follow-on where the first half, I thought we improved. And then today, we just generally, we looked better, without sort of being how a Peterborough United team genuinely looks. But you could see signs that it's coming together. So, I'm not getting carried away that, oh, look how great we are. We've improved no end, which we have. But that bar was pretty low. So we've still got a long way to go. Still got a few little things here and there we need to settle out. I think if we carry on, as I just said, like small steps the way we are, then I don't think we're going to be in any danger of relegation come the end of the year. I'm not even looking at bottom of the table, mid-table, top six, whatever. We have got to take every game as it comes already and just keep improving. If we do that, I think we'll be fine. I don't want to be the negative person, but I'm going to be. What the only thing that got me today is we won a game, which is fantastic. Why were the players giving it three pumps after a game? I don't get it. It's not as if we're like secured safety or we're in the playoffs. We've won a fucking game. Sorry for swearing, but we won one game. I think that's a little bit over the top, if I'm totally honest, but that's my little negative.
Yeah, Dale, I think like I mentioned, I think that's more relief than anything, and just wanting to be able to sort of push some energy out and feed off of the fans and give them that sort of appreciation. I don't think it was anything more than that. And like you say, I'm not a massive fan of the fist pumps, but the younger lot like it, don't they? So if that keeps them happy, then I suppose that the players can probably enjoy it. I said the only time I'd like to see it is probably after, we beat Northampton away this season, or Cambridge potentially.
Just one line before we do move on. Got to give credit to the GH. I actually thought they was quite loud all game, or most of the game, which was well done. Bearing in mind there's nobody in London Road, because the youngsters moved over. But fair play to them. I think they've done quite well with the noise and the atmosphere. So kudos for your boys in the GH.
You are welcome. It was me and Ash and Lods leading the entire thing. Right? That's how it went. No, we weren't there.
No, I'm on, a GH Ultra. I'm a GH Ultra. No, I'm a full convert. I've just got to get Imogen and Shannon in there, and then we'll be jumping over hoardings when we beat Northampton 7-0 later on in the season. Let's have it.
It's funny you mentioned bringing Shannon and Imogen. There was a lot of families in there today. We're getting a little bit distracted. Let's come back to the GH later. The player performances, I'll start off with Bass. I probably rated him a bit too. I think I gave him a 6 or 6.5. I can't exactly remember now on our snap ratings that we do straight after the game. Having watched back some of the highlights, credit to him. He was very composed at all the, you know, the saves. I don't really think the shot that went in was his fault. All the bread and butter stuff that you expect from a keeper, he was really good at. I was frustrated by his distribution at times today. There was a few that just either sliced out for a throw in or were just too ambitious, like trying to hit Hayes on the left wing. Because he's not got the frame to bring it down easily, Hayes. And he was obviously marked by a wing back. I just felt, why aren't you going up the centre of the pitch in that situation, especially given Leonard had managed to get a few headers already. But outside of that, I was pretty happy. And there's a lot more composure there, isn't there, than perhaps the keepers of last year, I have to say. Reyes has started all right. So we actually have what I think is a pretty good situation in the goalkeeping department now. Yeah, credit to him. Let's hope he builds on this.
Yeah, I think you're right, Harry. And I don't think it was a particularly special performance from Alex Bass. I'm sure that he'll be frustrated to concede the goal that he did, but it's one of those like Roy Keane moments. Just do your job. And he did that well today. He smothered the ball when it was in the box. He maybe didn't quite kick as well as he would have done. But I think that that's probably the key difference, like you mentioned, between him and Bilo as probably the direct comparison, is that Alex Bass forgets about it. The mistake happens. He apologises and he moves on. With Bilo, it always felt like it's in his head and then it makes him worse. Whereas Bass, look, Fergie's praised him multiple times. D-Mac thought he was a great signing when we brought him in. We haven't seen him since probably Peterborough Sports make one of those like world-class saves that you like to see from a goalkeeper. It's been very tame in the first two games, I would say, from him. I hope that he can grow on from the two performances and then we can keep a clean sheet. That was the one thing that we discussed at the front of the GH today, wasn't it? Is that we can't go until, when is it, January last, like we had last year, that we didn't get a clean sheet. We need to get one under wraps and hopefully it's in the next two games in particular.
Yeah, the one thing I liked about Bass's game was his game management towards the end. Like you said, Ashley, his composure when he was smothering the ball. He did a little bit of time wasting as well, didn't he? We were under a lot of pressure in that last 15 minutes. And I think it's something that we didn't really see with Bilo a lot. I know Jed was quite good at it, but Bilo especially, I don't think really had that. He didn't really give the defence confidence when we were up against it. And I think the last 15 minutes sort of highlighted our game management at the back. Those three defenders, I think you could tell when Lees went off. I thought O'Connor had a really good game and his game management was great. But when O'Connor went off, I think Okagbwe and Nevitt's inexperience showed. It's not a knock to them because obviously they can't help being inexperienced. But I think the experience that O'Connor and Lees both bring into that back line is really, really, really telling. And I think the last 15 minutes, especially if we had two inexperienced centre-backs, like maybe we did last season, you know, with Manny and with Wallen, I think we probably would have conceded. And I think as well, when we conceded the goal, we had a bit, there was just a minute before we conceded the goal, there was a similar chance where the cross went in, we didn't deal with it properly. They managed to get it on the floor and play it in our area. And I was like, we can't really be doing this. And I think they're all sort of arguing amongst each other then. And then obviously the goal that did end up going in was very similar. It was a cross that came in, it went across the floor and they managed to scramble the ball in. And I think O'Connor was then giving Nevitt some coaching then, basically saying you need to get up and head the ball out. And I think that's a real positive in this experience that we bring. I was kind of a bit reluctant when we brought Tom Lees in, purely because of his age, the comments that people were making saying he's past it. But I think what it's going to do for our younger defenders compared to what we had to put up with at the start of last season before we brought Hughes in, I think it's going to be a massive positive influence. And we've already seen it with George Nevitt, haven't we?
Yeah, do you know what? I was really pleased with George Nevitt's performance again. I think, like you say, Lods, with those two experienced heads either side of him, he's really learning and also taking on some of the responsibility himself. He's that middle man of the three. I think that he's ready for that responsibility. He doesn't seem as fazed by the football as he did last season. Like, it doesn't feel like there's a bit more like demand on him because obviously he's got that support from either side. I think that the most surprising thing that I saw today, and I didn't watch Huddersfield in great detail, was actually how progressive both Lees and O'Connor were in their attacks. I've watched back
They didn't really do that against Huddersfield. Yeah, this was different today. Yeah.
So because we obviously spoke to Dara, the Wickham fan, and he said, "Oh, well, you remember what Sheffield United did when they were in the Premier League and what got them promoted. It felt like we did similar to that today, and that our two outside centre-backs were both bombing forwards." There's a clip on the Posh Twitter that you can see Lees. He just carries the ball. He just runs on and then he creates space. He takes a man with him. And that's one of the goals that we end up scoring from. So it's clearly something that they've worked on. And we said that these players did need time. I think that actually now we've got a really solid three in that defence. And Okagbuwe was a good sub. I thought that he was okay when he came on. But I think that when you add Hughes back into this as well, I think that we've got a really solid five and we need to pick three. And that will hopefully carry us through the season.
Yeah, tactically as well, I think you've just touched on something there. They have the ability, they being Lees and O'Connor, have the ability to drive forward a bit because of the setup, where if they were to make a mistake going forward, and they didn't today, but if they had, the sufficient players behind them or around them to be able to mop that up and recycle it. And I think a lot of that work and that credit for their confidence has to go down to both Kyoso and Mendy. Kyoso was the Kyoso that we know and expect and put in a really good performance. I think Mendy's performance went under the radar a bit and he deserves a lot of credit. More than anything for his positioning, his, if you call it the north-south stuff, how quickly as a wing-back are you getting up and giving the option and then how quickly are you getting back to defend? They had a tough job because I noticed, especially in the second half, Wickham had two players on the wing to try and on each wing to try and create an overload, and we didn't get tempted, which I was a little bit nervous about at the time, but it's obviously paid off. We didn't get tempted to have somebody go out and support our wing backs. Kyoso and Mendy were trusted, and actually even later on, I don't know why they didn't attack the side that Hayes was on, because he's not a natural defender. But we trusted the wing backs to do the defensive stuff on their own, and you know what? They did it. The goal that we conceded was not through lack of wing-back work. It was just not dealing with a throw-in set piece. So absolutely fair play to them. I want to see Mendy just hit the timing of the attacking stuff a little bit better when he's on the ball, because it was much more common for him to get on the ball on the wing and then have to pass it back every time. There was no penetrating pass or cross, at least that I can recall, that led to a really good chance. Whereas obviously Kyoso caused multiple problems down the wing. But yeah, encouraging. Let's hope Mendy can keep building on it and he can get up to the level Kyoso is already on. It's so nice. I was slightly worried that Kyoso would not come back as the 23-24 player, but he's allayed those fears so far for me.
So it's clear to see that by going to the five is what we should have done to start off with, because we've now got the defenders. We've now got both Mendy and PK, but I called him earlier Pikusu because I got confused with his name. Mate, honestly, and this is before the game. But anyway, so it's good to see that they're confident. I think that's the best way to describe both of them. They're very confident with the ball. If they lose it, they're not sort of like too bothered, as in, oh, well. But you can see that once we get into a bit more confidence, they're going to be the ones going down the wing, you know, and creating more and doing doing better. There's lots of encouraging things to come, but the wing backs, I thought, done very well today, and you can see that they are going to be a big integral part of us moving forward and improving and, you know, moving up the table.
Yeah, you talk about the wing backs playing with confidence, Del. There is not a single player on the pitch that gave me more confidence than Matty Garbutt, who, Jesus, I don't think I've seen a single person say that he had an average performance. I think everyone that watched that game today just knows how good he is already. He reminds me, the thing is, with Hector Kyprianou, he was obviously all over the pitch. He had a lot of energy, and Garbutt can do that. But when I think of what Kyprianou did for us when he was playing at his best, it was mostly out of possession stuff, breaking up counter-attacks. You don't really picture him getting the ball and making those striding runs. Garbutt seems to get all over the pitch with the ball. So he's on the left-hand side, he's striding forward, he's picking out crosses. He's then on the right-hand side, he's winning passes, he's laying it off. I think John might have already said this, but I think we're going to be selling him this summer. I think he's too good for us. I think he's the sort of player that we'd take in the Championship and he'd thrive. And he's joined us too soon because he's too good to be bottom half of League One where we are now. I'm really looking forward to what else he can do. And the goal he scored as well, like, really well taken. I think I come up with a stat the other week about how many long shots we've had. We had loads of shots outside the box compared to other teams, and obviously we hadn't scored any of them. That one looked like he'd been doing that every game. He just took one touch, didn't he, and just bang, straight into the bottom corner.
Yeah, thank you, David Ball. What a bit of recruitment he's done for us there. Matt Garbutt is an absolute player, like Lodz says. He has the ability to take two men with him wherever he goes on the pitch, and he'll still come out with the ball. We've watched our tricky wingers do that previously, but to have somebody that does it in the middle of midfield is just different gravy, because you're pulling players from pretty much all over the place. And Wickham played with two midfielders today, I think it was. They were basically both having to handle Garbutt because of how good he is. The shot was just like it never looked like it was missing. Like we made comment, didn't we, during the game, that if that was the posh goalkeeper, we'd expect them to save it. I think that's maybe a little bit harsh on the goalkeeper for Wickham, because it's come through a few players and then all of a sudden just appeared. You can check out the Up the Poshcast story for my angle of it through the Ray-Ban Meters if you want to. But, you know, it's just, he's a great player. And Lodz, you're saying next summer, I think there's a chance that somebody comes in and a low level Championship team, I think there's a chance that they come in January and that it's going to be a quick sort of 6 month turnaround, and 6 month profit on a free transfer. So we can't complain there. The next man that I was again really impressed by, and I think that he's had a little bit of weight taken off of his shoulders by Garbutt, is Brandon Keller. He looks like he's happy to be that Duracell bunny and just run around and help Mendy on the left, help Kyoso on the right. He's happy to take the ball. He was a little bit sloppy to start the game, but I would imagine that was probably nerves. Obviously, the last time that I'm pretty sure he played a league game at London Road was against Bradford. So he probably had that in the back of his mind, I would imagine. He's put in another solid performance, and it's clear to see that, again, like we discussed just then, we're going to have five quality centre-backs for three centre-back positions. When you add Woods into the mix for the centre midfield, we're going to have four for three. And it does seem like everything's going to hopefully start to tick. I don't want to get too excited. Like we said earlier, over one win from, what, eight is that now? That's not the change in our form, but if we can continue on the trajectory that we're on, it does feel like things are hopefully going to start ticking in the right direction. And Garbutt and Keller are two players that are going to massively help pull us forwards as the season goes on.
I'm with you. On Keller, I think I agree that the weight off his shoulders is the system really suits him, because the gap now between him and other midfielders or a wing-back option is a lot smaller. So the progressive, the ball-carrying stuff can all be done by Garbutt now. and Keller doesn't have to worry about doing that as much. I think if you remember the Barnsley game on that Tuesday night, he was having to drag that ball through midfield because there were no options really with him. And now he can focus on, in my opinion, his best part of his game is his tackling. He's an unbelievably good tackler. He can anticipate where a player's going to move to. Just put that foot in really cleanly. So impressed with that part of his game. And that's what you should focus on. You've got a recycler in Collins. You've got a progressive carrier in Garber. And you've got a tackler in Keller. For me, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I appreciate the kid's only 20. But I'm already thinking this guy's doing the job that we all pretend to think Ollie Norburn and Anthony Grant did. He actually does all the tackling consistently in the game, as opposed to us kind of remembering them as a hard man. So really good trenches footballer, which is what you need when you've got two other players who are more artistic, I would say, in Collins and Garber. On Collins, we haven't touched on him yet. I would just like to say it straight off the bat. What happened the first time he took a risk with his passing, where he's almost chipped it over to Garber? A goal happens immediately. I would just love to see Collins come out of his shell a bit more and gamble a bit more with some of those passes that he makes, because it was a recycling performance today. And you know what? Look, we won. It's the kind of ones where in the 23-24 season, we praised him for it because he was the metronome. He very rarely gets in either box, just does the job of making sure that essentially the team is set up for the coming attack. And once again, he did that today. But goodness me, I just love to see those flashes more often, basically, where he takes a risk trying to progress the ball through midfield. Because, look, it paid off today once, and I'm sure it could pay off many more times if he was willing to take those risks more often.
Yeah, I think you're right with Archie Collins there. And it was another performance where he sort of felt like he was always there, but never really did anything other than obviously the assist for the goal. And I think that's probably another credit to Matt Garbutt as well, is that Archie Collins is not that shooting midfielder. We've watched him dribble one in against MK in pre-season. We watched him last season dribble one in against Burton. And I think that he maybe got one at Fleetwood away the season before that. I think that now that there's not that responsibility on Archie Collins to be on the edge of the box, because he's got both Keller and Garbutt as well, he's now free to do the things that Archie Collins is good at. And that's, again, the difference with the three rather than the last season's two, I would say. And it's refreshing that these three that we've got currently are working for each other and helping each other, and their weaknesses are strengths, and it's kind of like a perfect balance at the moment. And Archie Collins is that I don't think he was ever going to kick up a fuss, was he, and be that player that throws his dummy out the pram because we've not sold him or he's not signed a new contract. He's clearly the ultimate professional, but it's just nice to see Archie Collins focusing on football and not having to worry about all of the other stuff that comes with, let's say, vice captain or being the captain because Kipriano's injured and all of that sort of stuff. So long may it continue for Archie Collins.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think today was necessarily a good game by Archie standards, but you can now see his role in the team is purely what he is good at. Like you say, Ashley, the two midfielders he's got in front of him now have got the energy to do everything else. They've got the technical ability to get the ball forward. His job now is to literally just be an available option so that they can recycle possession if they get stuck. Today was probably an example of both Keller and Garbutt not getting stuck very often and not needing to use Collins. But there will be times during this season where Collins's role is an important one. And we should be grateful that he has stayed at the club, because that midfield three, I think, probably will be one of the better midfields in the league. And I mean, we all know how important having a good midfield is for a campaign. Let's talk about the attack now, though, because I'm of the impression that getting these two strikers in is the reason why we've won the game today and the reason why we've started scoring goals suddenly. I think both of them, both Morgan and Leonard, are just so much better than what we've seen from Brad and Gustav. And I think it's the energy more than anything. Well, but firstly, them playing up front together and not having one striker, I think, is a big help. But the energy of them two getting around the pitch, They remind me of, we haven't seen many strike partnerships at Posh under Darrow. Obviously, we had Mikhail Smith and McLean. But they remind me more of Matty Godden and Jason Cummings, because them two used to just run around all over the place, didn't they? You never really had, normally it's big man, little man, isn't it? You'll have one holding it up and one running off them. But you never really knew between Cummings and Godden which one was which. They all just sort of ran in different directions. And the chemistry they had between them, it just worked. They both just got a lot of goals. And I know Cummings ended up leaving early because of off the pitch reasons. But if Leonard and Morgan can work out this chemistry, which, by the way, they've only been together for a couple of weeks and they already seem like they've got quite a good connection. If they can work out that on the pitch, they could be very productive. And I mean, Darragh said on his pod that we've got a top six squad. As much as we can joke, we probably haven't. If our midfield's as good as what I say it is, and these two strikers can score goals, then we could actually get up the table here. We could go from talking about relegation at the start and then end up being a top half team by the end.
I actually think Darrow's getting confused with a top six squad. I think that what Darrow meant is we've actually got six squads with the amount of players that we've got, you know what I mean? But no, definitely the partnership up front is a little bit disappointed. You said it, Lods, because you took my thunder there, really. You can see something blending with them. You know, two games they've been together, whatever it is, two and a half, I don't know. But you can see something that's, wow. It's something we haven't seen for a long, long time, because it normally is a one up front. Definitely the way to go, the two up top. The only disappointing thing is we're not going to see it for long, because obviously we're not going to be able to keep old matey from Chelsea. You know, he'll be going back. So let's make it most of it for the season. I think they're going to be a good partnership. And, you know, I know I said about Brad scoring 20 goals this season, but I think them two, if they carry on the way they're going, they'll have 20, 30 between them. So it'll be at least, it'll be nice. So, yeah, encouraging to see.
I agree with the sentiments I've heard so far. One thing I'd just say on Leonard in particular, I noticed that after that header in the second half flew over, he looked pretty frustrated. And I can't help but think that he's probably slightly worried about the fact that he hasn't scored yet. And he really does not need to worry. The quality of his performances is absolutely there. It will come. We have not got any concerns, right, between us on the level of performance that he's putting in. I think his hold-up play has been really good. His timing of getting into the box has clearly been spot on. 95 times out of 100, it's not JJ that puts the goal in today. It's Leonard's header that goes in. Just the keeper's world, he's not there. Yeah, he definitely does not need to get disheartened. Yeah, fair play to him. He's started really well, even without a goal.
Yeah, I think with Leonard, if he does feel like that, I can understand, because with that price tag, you're going to have a lot of expectation, aren't you? But we're only comparing him to what we've seen over the last 5, 6, 7 games and last season, and even the season before that, because we've never really had a decent striker since Jono, really. I know we had Ricky, but he wasn't the prolific striker that we used to. I want to talk about Morgan just briefly. He really looks like some player. I know he's a Chelsea youth player. I know we're not going to get him permanently. But I didn't really have high expectations of him before, because of what the Gillingham fans were saying about him being lightweight and him having some talent, but it not really coming across. I think his technical ability is really good as well. He was sort of laying off passes. He knew where everyone was. Like I said before, his connection with Leonard was really good. And I was, as he went off the pitch, I was sort of watching him. We won a corner just before he went off. And I was watching him communicate with, he went up to Archie Collins first and he was pointing at a few players. And I thought, what's he doing here? Then he communicated to someone else about filling his role from the corner. He knew he was going off and he was communicating all the instructions for the corner that was about to happen and making sure that everyone knew what they were doing before the corner came in. And I thought, wow, he's a really young player and he's been with these players for, 2 weeks? And he's already learned not only our corner routines, but how to communicate with his teammates. That's something I've not really seen before. And Gustav, who came on for him, I don't know if you remember, he ran up into the box and he went, oh, who am I marking? Where am I going? And none of the players really gave him that instruction. And I don't think we didn't do anything from the corner, but it just makes you wonder sort of those 1% improvements, how much impact that will make across the season, having the intelligence. And he's obviously learned it from high quality coaching from Chelsea, but that small improvement to the overall team, it's just, it makes me wonder how much of an impact that makes over a full season. I think him going off as well was one of the reasons why we lost energy. I know he couldn't do 90 minutes against Huddersfield either. I'm hoping we're building him up to fitness and he's not just a 60-minute player, if that makes sense. I have looked up to see how many 90 minutes he's played in his career. So he played 27 times last season. That was the combination of both the games for Gillingham and in the under-21s for Chelsea. He's played two 90-minute games, and then the season before 17 times and only one 90-minute game. So I don't know if he struggles with fitness anyway. Obviously, the amount of energy he brings for that hour is definitely beneficial for us. But I'm not confident that we're going to be able to get that from him 90 minutes per game. And obviously, when you look at our bench, we don't really have a like-for-like replacement.
Yeah, Lobs, it's an interesting one that you make on Morgan's fitness, and I think that maybe it's a Chelsea Academy thing, because we saw the same with Motherseal when he first joined us, and that he was never able to play the full 90, and it was 30 minutes he'd come off the bench or 60 and then he was being replaced. So it may just be that they don't expose them in the Chelsea Academy to the stress. Is that the right thing to say, that the body stress of professional football, men's football, and that's why Morgan maybe was sort of flagging towards the end of his time on the pitch. I think those two, though, that started the game today up top, they clearly, like has been mentioned earlier, have got a great relationship. And I think that's it's just so clear to see how sometimes you just get the recruitment right and sometimes it's wrong. Like, this is somebody that lived up in Blackburn all of his life. You've got a lad from Essex, down London way, that was in Gillingham last season and is from Chelsea. You can bring them together in Peterborough and all of a sudden it just looks like it works. And like you mentioned, Harry, I don't think that Leonard has anything to worry about, because on another day, that header goes another 6 inches to the right. The goalkeeper doesn't save it and the ball's in the back of the net and Morgan doesn't have a goal and he's got his one. So I've got no concerns with the fact that it's been two games. We've watched many a Peterborough United striker go multiple games without scoring goals when we've paid lots of money for them. So I'm all good there with that one. The one man that our ratings, not mine, I gave him a 6, was Gustav Lindgren. Everybody else's ratings were harsh. I think that he showed today that he's willing to support the team and help other people. Like, there was a point, it must have been after we'd scored, where, or maybe when somebody came off, he looked like he was acting like cheerleader type thing. And he was there to support the squad. Now, we know that obviously he had that terrible first touch for the one where Keller played him through. And on another day, maybe not on another day, hopefully going forwards, he'll be able to correct that. And then he'll put the ball in the back of the net the next time he gets that chance. I said during the game, I don't think it's right to knock him down for that sort of thing, especially when we've watched Ricky have multiple chances like that. I made the comment during the game about Ricky. He played for us 200 times and he still hadn't mastered that. So Gustav will get there. I'm confident that he will. I know that everybody is desperate to write this guy off, but I'm confident that he's going to get there and he will start to score goals at vital points in the game, even if it's from the bench.
Yeah, I didn't give him any stupid score, but look, I'm fairly critical of strikers when they can't do the basics. I gave Ricky plenty of twos and threes last season when he had 8 touches in a game or just completely fluffed a one-on-one. And Lindgren fluffed a one-on-one. Beautiful interception by Keller. Beautiful pass by Keller. And he's allowed the ball to roll out from under his foot rather than trap it properly to set himself for the shot. Really disappointing. But hey, look, he won at least one foul. He got at least one pass off. Well done for that. It's baby steps, isn't it? And he just needs to focus when you get that one chance, especially as a sub. If he's only going to be doing half an hour stints or maybe less going forward as JJ gets up to full fitness, that's the thing that matters more than anything, is if you get that chance, get your first touch right. Anyone else want to talk about? Hayes was fairly energetic. I said it earlier in the episode. I was very surprised I didn't attack down the right hand side after Hayes came on, as they being Wickham came attacked on the right hand side after he came on as left wing back. He caused all sorts of problems for them going forward, but he didn't have to defend once, I don't think. And it's look, fair play to him. He's now being played out of position. I think there will be moments in this coming season where if he does play left wing back as a relief option consistently, he will get caught out a few times. And honestly, I think we should be fairly forgiving for that when it happens, because it's not his position. But he made the most of it today, I thought. And I wonder if he was told by Fergie, get crosses in early, because he did that. He picked up where PK had left off on the other side, at least in the first half. I know PK didn't get taken off, but PK in the first half got crosses in early. Hayes did it when he came on, crosses early. They weren't all perfect, but I wonder if that was a coached thing. And he did well. I was happy with him.
No, it's definitely the case, because I think even put in a group chat, when he come on, a couple of not only the decent crosses in, he had a couple of first-time crosses, which when was the last time we've ever seen a player running down, the ball's there, cross it in without sort of taking a touch to cross it. You know, he had the confidence to like, oh, whip it in straight away. And a couple of them was pretty decent. Is that because we've probably got the confidence that we've got a couple of forwards that can put their head on the ball now and have, you know, will be in the place where the ball will be? Oh, granted, it didn't quite come off, but it was normally a case, as you said, it's normally a case of get the ball, stop, shit, what do I do with it? It was the day of, right, get the ball. The only thing he wanted to do was get that ball in the box. And that's what he's good at when he hasn't got to think about it too much. So, you know, a great impact sub. I thought he'd done very well when he come on. So that is also good to see what we have got to come off the bench in certain areas. Obviously, centre forwards, I think we've got a problem. But there's starting to be a little bit of extra quality now that we could have on the bench that can come on and change a game. And I think Hayes is going to be one of those for some pivotal games of the season.
Yeah, he does just bring something slightly different on that left-hand side. And it's clearly worked for Peterborough United in times gone by, with the left-footed player being on the right, the right-footed player being on the left, and then being able to cut in. But it's nice to see something different. And like you've all mentioned, is those balls into the box, they naturally get you up off of your feet rather than the player coming inside. And Hayes is particularly guilty of coming inside and then not really doing anything with it type thing, is that actually if he's got that instruction of take the touch, push it out in front of you, get the ball in the box, it brings the crowd up, and it brings the crowd like closer to the pitch, if that makes sense. And Hayes has still got lots of learning to do, and you've got to get those crosses right, and that will take a little bit of time, especially if he's only getting sort of 30, 35 minutes week in, week out. He's not getting that like full game, which I don't think he deserves, but that's by the by. So it was a step, another one. And that feels like it's a common theme today, isn't it? It's a step in the right direction. I think the only other person, that Lisby only got 5 minutes. He did what he needed to do. He ran around and looked sharp. The only other person that I thought looked quite good was David Kagwe. He's the final player. And again, it's another one that just came on and did his job. He looked like he won headers. He was happy to put his foot through the ball. He didn't try and do any of the silly stuff that he's made look difficult in times gone by. I was just happy with the performance. It's always difficult, isn't it, when you replace a centre-back three that has looked fairly good throughout the game, knowing that you've got to come on and put in that similar level performance and just get straight onto it. It's always difficult as a player, and maybe particularly as a centre-back, but I thought that Dave did everything that he needed to do today, and it ultimately was a good performance from him.
All right, I think that's the game. And we touched on it earlier. We were in the GH display today, the first time it was properly open this season for Posh fans. It's going to be a debate each year, isn't it? Should it be a permanent place that we can have season ticket holders for Posh fans in? And what would that mean for the London Road end? But we made a good of account of ourselves today, I think, didn't we? Is that fair to say? And I really liked, and credit to everyone who was in there from the, you know, the blue section, this group of youths who are trying to get the atmosphere more, the way they went about it was absolutely spot on. Agreed with the club what banners to run beforehand, got the drum in. There was not any sort of aggravation towards stewards. There was clearly no flares. It was completely about atmosphere. And on a day when there was a load of families in there, because it was, I guess it was a ticket giveaway day or whatever they call it, like a free kicks day. I thought they hit the tone perfectly. And for me, that was pretty much the best example we could have set, I think, as a fan base in that stand. And yeah, just for me, honestly, I'm ready for us to suggest that there's no more season tickets in the London Road End, and we move the season tickets from next season into the GH display and use this top quality stand that we have and its facilities as well that come with that.
Yeah, do you know what? You're right, Harry. And I think that, let's not say everybody, because that would never be the right thing to say, but 99% of the people that are in the GH display stand today have probably had a good experience and will want to come back to Posh again. There is, of course, the age-old argument, well, the only reason it was full is because it was a grassroots day and there's 80% off tickets. Of course, naturally, people are going to buy tickets, but they could have bought tickets in the family stand. They could, where you've got the Peterborough in the corner. They could have bought tickets in the London Road End. They could have bought tickets in the main stand, but they didn't want to. They wanted to buy tickets in the GH display stand because that is the best stand that this football club has to offer. It's clearly going to take a set of balls from somebody at the football club. And whether that means that we need to support it, the blue section need to support it and really push for it and push hard, it's clearly going to take a set of balls from someone at the football club to say, right, we are going to take that gamble next season and we are going to open up E4 and E5 for season ticket holders and let's just see how many we can fill. Let's see if we can get 400 people in there and then we can open up that for every single game. It doesn't need to be the whole stand, and this is the whole point. It doesn't need to be E1 through to E6. It just needs to be two blocks where people can buy their season tickets. The blue section can then section off their little bit with their season tickets so that everybody knows that that's where they are. And if you then want to expand that out by sort of 10 to 15 people every 2 to 3 games, then it grows into something, doesn't it? And then you have people that, I've had messages from people, there were people that were in the family stand today. They wish that they were in the GH. They wish that they were part of that enjoyment of being a Peterborough United supporter. And supporters groups like the blue section are people that will make, like, younger fans want to come back again. Like you said, Harry, I disagree with your word, the use of your word youths, because that naturally has that like negative connotation. They're a bunch of Peterborough United supporters. They want the atmosphere to improve, that, and they're doing the best that they can with the resource that they've got available to them. I think that they've gone, like you said, about everything the right way. There was no aggro. There was certainly no, oh, you're sat in my seat. Everybody was sort of sat where they needed to. And it worked. And I think that we're at that point in time now where somebody's got to make a big decision. And I hope that it's not just, I think the next game from record is Northampton in December. I think there needs to be a game before that where they take the risk. And even if they just open up E4, I appreciate that there's costs involved, but let's take a gamble. Let's do it for E4. Let's do it for E5. Open up half the stand for a game and just see what naturally, how many people want to move across and how many people want to buy fresh tickets in there. I bought extra tickets in there today to sort of prove a point and say, well, yeah, look, there are more people that want to buy tickets. I've expressed my thought before on the London Road End. I've expressed it this evening on Twitter. I think that it's time, like you said, Harry, it's time to move on. And the London Road was great. The London Road End hasn't been fantastic since they put the safe standing in. I think that's a perfectly fair comment to make. Let's push our atmosphere on and let's use the best stand that will project those acoustics out to the rest of the pitch and rest of the stadium.
So I just want to point out the people that got the discounted tickets didn't have a choice where they sat. The discounted tickets, they sent a code for the GH stand only. They couldn't choose where they sat in the ground. But anyway, that's irrelevant. What I will not say is, I think I've already said that the atmosphere is very good, quite impressed. What we can't continue to do, though, is to have both open with only the amount of fans that we had there today. What do we have, 8,500 fans? You know, we can't have four stands open for that low quality, that low amount, because the cost is just not right. We either shut London Road and give it to GH, or it's a London Road. You can't have both with the small quantities that we got, in my opinion. You know me, I'm a firm believer as I ain't leaving London Road. That's my bit. I love it. But, you know, from a business point of view, you got to look at what is right. What is right for everybody? What do the fans want? And until the majority of fans say, I want GH, then it is what it is. But I thought that was very good. And you're right, Ash. I think potentially do a game before Northampton where London Road is shut, you know, rather than waiting until then and see what the feedback is. And see, you go, you're always going to have some moaners, a bit like me. But yeah, we just need, it's, we can't have all four grand sides open when we've only got 8,500 people there. It's just not cost effective for any business. But now, fair play to them. Yeah, I'll give him my doff me out again to the lads in there, the youth and the families and the older people like Ari, Ash, Lods, who was in there. Done all right. Well done.
All right. Hey, if you're listening on YouTube or any other platform where you're able to leave a comment, let us know what you think. Would you like to move into the GH display permanently? Were you in there today? And how was your experience? We want to know. Moving on to Dara dropped a new Hard Truth podcast this week. It was an interesting listen. And I think it's fair to say he put Fergie on notice to a certain extent. And you might be able to argue that it worked today. There was some, as I say, interesting tidbits. I think that I hope that the standoff with Volin resolves well for both sides. And for what it's worth, I think it would be good to see him able to enjoy his football again. And if that's in Sweden and he's able to come to a solution with the club, that would be good, I think, in whatever form that takes. But anyway, Lods, you got any other thoughts on the podcast?
Yeah, I mean, we get this from time to time from Dara, don't we? He has a platform to express his opinions publicly, and he uses it well. I think he knows how to drum up some interest, doesn't he? He knows how to say some controversial things. The Oscar Wallen thing's strange, but it is only one side of the story. I know there's a lot of people that have just jumped the gun and backed what Dara said on the pod, but if there's more to it, we probably shouldn't comment too much, because it could be a whole host of reasons why he felt like he needed to go back to Sweden and has refused to play for us ever again. There's a few things that just, I don't know if they sit right with me. I mean, you said that he's put Fergie on watch, but Fergie would have already known that he was, you know, close to the brink. They can have private discussions. He doesn't need to be hung out to dry like that. And I think, like, we've all got jobs. If you imagine that your manager or your boss has used a public platform to discuss your business performance with your customers and your clients, it's just unprofessional, isn't it? And for whatever reason, we can get away with it in football. Like, it's not just Dara that does this. Like, obviously, that's what journalists are for, aren't they? It's just, I don't know, it just doesn't sit right. It doesn't look professional, in my opinion. And maybe it's the cynic in me. I feel like Dara knows that there'll be a lot of fans up in arms if he was to sack Fergie. I think he knows there's probably more fans that would rather Dara left than Fergie. And I think he's trying to use this platform to change people's opinions and make it seem like Fergie's the bad guy. I mean, if you look at like Brad, Big Bad Brad going out on loan, Dara's made it clear that was a Fergie thing and Dara didn't want it to happen. And Brad's still got a future at the club. And I think, is that Dara's actual opinion, or is he just saying that because the fans all want Brad back? And then like you compare it to like the Dornelli thing where Dornelli wants to go out on loan and get game time, but it was Dara that said that he couldn't. And it's like, how can Dara block Dornelli's loan move, but he can't stop Brad from going out on loan? Like, I just, like I said, maybe it's just the cynic in me. Maybe I'm just I don't know. I've got this negative opinion of Dara and the way he's communicating with the fans, but I just think that if Fergie had a similar platform and had the same personality as Dara, he probably would have got a complete different side of the story and different takes of the same situations that Dara's spoken about on the podcast.
Yeah, it's a really difficult one with the pod, isn't it? Because like we discussed on Countdown to Kickoff with Dara, they've not heard from the Wickham owners, the new owners. They're from Kazakhstan, I believe. They've not had an interview. They've not had any sort of socials. They don't even know what the guy looks like, I don't think. They just know that he's got lots of money. And it's the polar opposite for Posh, isn't it? And I think that that pod was very much an acceptance that DMAC knows that he made a mistake with that. Oh, we're the 6 p.m. we've signed Mendy and we're done for the window thing. And that actually really annoyed a lot of Posh fans because it was just clear that that was a lie. Everybody knew that it was done. And then, yes, I know that DMAC said that he was trying to flex his muscles for the journalists, but does he need to do that? We obviously had whatever happened on Friday with that guy that called AD Moles, whatever he called him. One normal day of Peterborough United. That's all that we ask. And it just doesn't ever seem like that's possible with DMAC on socials. Like, just a normal day where something doesn't happen or he doesn't make comment or he doesn't come out and discuss something. It's difficult, isn't it? Because you can't have both sides of the coin. You can only have one. And you either want him to be active or you don't. I think that it's great that he is. But there's times, like with a player announcement, there's nothing I'd love more than for the club to announce a player. Even somebody like Mendy, for example. Like, can you imagine how quality that would have been if all of a sudden we got this announcement of a player that we didn't even know that we were linked with? And instead, we've got a tweet that we were expecting to be, who was it, Leonard at the time. So it's a difficult one. I think that the pod was strange. It did sort of reaffirm comments that we've made way back when that actually we trust our own coaches rather than sending them out. And the only players that we want to go out on loan are the ones that are ultimately aren't good enough. I think back to, obviously, Will Blackmore was nearly done for Scunthorpe. He's decided not to go there. Con Clark's been dragging on for about 2 weeks now. Wakeling, we've given to Solihull Moors. Brad's gone, like you say. Bilo, they were going to do a mutual termination of a contract by the sounds of things. I think, like I said before, it looks poor on DMAC and Barry Fry, but they can't get rid of these players. Like, where's the incentive for the players to leave the club? They're just sat around moping around, not playing football, not part of the matchday squads, all of that sort of stuff. We've got, what, probably a couple of weeks before it starts to become a problem. And look, where do you go if you've got 30 people having to train every single day? You can't just leave them. They're still going to be in the building, aren't they? So, yeah, it was, like you say, lads, it was an interesting listen, I think, maybe. But I know we'll see what he comes back with the next time that he records.
For me, I actually thought that his pod come across as very defensive. He was in defensive Dara, which is normally is, oh, we do this or we do that. And, you know, you've always been told as youngsters, don't air your washing in public. And of late, he has been like sort of discussing things that we shouldn't be hearing. You know, the Wallen situation. Right, if there's something seriously wrong, that should not even be discussed. You know, you shouldn't be saying, oh, I've told him this, I told him that, it's gone back and he wants to pay for us, but where do we draw the line where I keep paying for him? You should be discussing that. If the lad's got mental health, whatever, that is like fucking tribunal shit, you know, if I'm right. You know, talking about Arlie Mills going out on loan and he's talking to his dad and he's told him this and he got angry with me. We just, come on, do your podcast like us. And just don't, there's no need to be defensive and there's no need to, you know, dry your laundry in public, in my opinion, because it's just, it's not a good look, if I'm honest. You know, talk about the positives, talk about everything else. But yeah, I just felt this one, his last one was very, very defensive, Dara. Which ain't up to his normal standards, to be fair.
And yet, if I had to pick my trade-off between owners who you literally don't know the face of and have never heard from versus someone who maybe says slightly too much sometimes, but at least he's visible to us, I know which one I'd take every time. I've always been, and I almost certainly always will be part of the be careful what you wish for brigade. And hey, it's entertaining, right? At the very least. I think some people, it's very fair to say, don't like the amount Dara speaks publicly to the extent that they don't think he's a good owner for that reason, basically. But that's not you. Yeah, we're there. We're there. Thank you all for listening. And it's nice to sign off on a win. It is the 13th of September. That is the first one where we've won a game. Let's hope that this time next week, it's exactly the same outcome after we play Plymouth away. Until then, Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
It literally was 5 months ago since we won at Wembley.
Yeah, 137 games or something, isn't it? 130. How many games?
Definitely wasn't 137 games, was it?